Welcome to my message today as I talk about, the whole idea of being faithful in a season of obedience. I want to welcome you today as we talk about this really, really important topic of how we can be faithful in a season of obedience. Well, the reality is God wants us to be obedient all the time, right? All the time. That is the Christian life. That's the Christian way to obey God. But there's also going to be seasons where God is going to really call us to do some difficult things, and He's going to expect us to obey Him. And so that's really what we're going to talk about today, how we can be faithful in those seasons where, listen, it seems so difficult to obey God. So this message is part of a series called Faithful Through the Seasons of Life. And Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Here is one of several verses in the Bible that describe life in the terms of we go through different seasons of life. And just like there's seasons in nature, hey, you know, there's fall, there's winter, there's spring, there's summer. Listen, there are seasons in your Christian life. There are seasons that God is going to take you through and God is going to work in you. And here's the deal. There's one requirement for every season of life. One requirement. And that requirement is to be faithful. To be faithful. You see, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. The idea of stewardship is managing what belongs to another. And really what we do is we manage what belongs to God. And God takes us through these different, listen, seasons in our lives. And what He expects of us, He requires of us. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? I'm requiring this of you. And you know what that is? To be faithful. To be faithful. So what is it to be faithful? Well, the idea of faithful, it's very simple. Just look at the word. It's to be full of faith. And the idea is to be all in. The Bible, describes it as being sold out to Almighty God. And so today, let's talk about this really important topic. And maybe even now, you're in a season of obedience. And again, God wants us to be always obedient. I get that, all right? But there are going to be times when God is going to take you to a whole different level, a whole different season, where He's going to call on you to do some hard things. And He's going to expect you to do it. He's going to expect you to obey Him and to be faithful. And that's exactly what happened in the life of a man in the Bible named Peter. And today we're going to study this in Matthew 14, 22 through 23. Matthew 14, 22 through 23. And so as we begin, and in the message, we're literally going to go through this whole passage verse by verse. But I want to read what I call the key verse. Every week, my sermon, if you follow the way I teach, I have a key verse for the sermon, all right? And today's key verse is Matthew 14, 29. Here the Bible says, so He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So notice this verse, it says, He said. And notice it's capital H, because the Bible, when it's God speaking, Jesus was God, it gives, priority to God by capitalizing the He, right? So it's God, Jesus, said, hey, Peter, come, come. And Peter had a choice to make. Was he going to obey or not obey? And boy, this was a difficult season for him, where God was calling him to come down out of the boat, even in the midst of a storm on top of that. And listen, he called him out. And listen, Peter literally walked on the water. I mean, God did a miracle and he literally walked on the water. Now, as we're going through this and we're talking about these seasons, Part of what I'm doing is I'm highlighting times in my life and particularly ministry of our church. And so right now, as I'm doing this, Pastor Bob Agee and I are celebrating a major milestone in the history of our church. And so what we're doing is we're looking at seasons that we went through, and these are seasons all of us face. And so there was a time where God called me to a very challenging time of obedience. And it really was kind of, you know, a succession of things where God said, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat, Steve. And the first of all, those was just planting our church, starting our church. And then another area, and again, that had multiple layers to it, was developing our church, developing our church. And then a whole nother area of obedience, and again, this has multiple layers as well, is multiplying our church. These were difficult times where God was calling me to do some hard stuff, and I had to be willing to obey Him. So I'm excited about sharing this message with you. Now, each week in this series, we have what I call a thought. And today's obedience thought is what I call my working definition of obedience. So you say, Steve Reynolds, what is obedience? What is obedience? And I have a working definition that I live by, okay? And not only, and I'll also add, as a parent, this is how Debbie and I, my wife and I, defined obedience to our children. And I thank the Lord. It's interesting to watch now our children doing the same thing with our grandchildren, because this is a biblical definition and can be and should be generational. All right, here it is. Obedience has three parts. Number one, obedience is, listen, doing what you're told to do. The second part, when you're told to do it. And then the third part, with the right heart attitude. Let me read that again. Obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. So first of all, obedience is doing what you're told to do. When God tells you to do something, you do it. That's obedience, all right? But then the second thing is you do it when He tells you. You know, if we are called to do something and we procrastinate, we haven't fully obeyed, right? We need to do it when God tells us to do it. And then here is the big one, okay, with the right heart attitude. I mean, it's one thing to obey and even do it at the right time, but what's your attitude, you know? What's your attitude? And, you know, if you got an old negative, rotten, pessimistic attitude, hey, in my way of thinking, you haven't fully obeyed, all right? Because obedience is you had a right heart attitude. In other words, you are all in for God. So let's keep this in mind as we go through this message today. Let's talk about how to be faithful in obedience. And boy, do we have an awesome example in this passage. And this passage helps us to really understand obedience. And the first thing it teaches us is this: obedience rests in God's will. Obedience rests in God's will. You see, the Bible tells us in Matthew 14, 22 through 24, and this kind of gives the context, so don't miss this. It says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now the thing I want you to see here is they are in a boat, all right? And there is a storm, okay? I've been on the Sea of Galilee three times, okay, in my life. And I'm told that on the Sea of Galilee, I mean, storms can just come up just quickly, okay? I mean, it's very common on the Sea of Galilee for these storms to just abruptly come on you. And this is what happened here. But what I want you to notice is Jesus made His disciples get in the boat and go before Him to the other side. Jesus sent them, okay? They were in God's will. They were doing what God told them to do. But listen, there was a storm. There was a storm. And you know, the Bible talks about storms. And there are actually two different kinds of storms in the Bible. And it's really important to note the difference in them, all right? So one is storms of correction. See, God sometimes brings storms into your life, and the purpose of them is to correct you. And the classic example of this type of storm is Jonah, right? Remember Jonah? You know, God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no. And what did God say? God said, blow, right? I mean, he caused a major storm to come onto that boat. And you know, and Jonah, of course, you know, was thrown off of that boat, went down into the belly of the big fish. And he got right with God. He had a revival right there in the belly of the fish. And sometimes God's going to send storms into our lives because we're disobeying. But that's not the situation here. They are doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And this is called storms of perfection. And these are for growth. God is trying to grow us. God is trying to mature us. And you know what we need to do? We need to rest in God's will. We need to say, God, you know, again, none of us are perfect. Let me start right there. Okay, none of us are perfect. But, you know, if there are times in your life where you are, you know, walking with God and as sin comes into your life, you're dealing with that sin and you're trying to be compliant and follow the Lord, and yet still there's a storm or storms that come into your life, what do you need to do? 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. What does that verse say? That verse says, commit your soul to Him. In other words, just rest in God's will. I mean, there's times when you're going to be obeying God and you're going to have a storm to go through, okay? And God wants to use that storm to grow you. God wants to use that storm to develop you. So obedience rests in God's will. And then secondly, obedience realizes God's presence. You see, obedience realizes that, hey, we are not alone, all right? And this is what God taught Peter here in Matthew 14:25-27. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, that's basically the middle of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. It's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Wow. What an incredible thing. You see, they were in God's will. And Jesus miraculously, remember the Bible says that, you know, he sent them out on the water, you know, going back to the previous passage. And the Bible says he sent the multitudes away. And the Bible says he went up into the mountains alone to pray. And now guess what happens? He comes to them. And the disciples, they didn't see Jesus because of fear. You know, they didn't see Jesus because they were paralyzed by fear. And you know what? Fear will do that to you. When you let fear control you, okay? And a lot of times in times of obedience where God's calling us to do some hard stuff, it's easy to get frozen in that fear. But what we have to realize is that Jesus came and comforted them. The Bible says he came to them and said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It's I. It's Jesus here on this water. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I don't know what you're going through right now, okay? And maybe you're going through a storm. And as far as you know, it's a storm of you know, growth in your life. Listen, hey, Jesus is with you. Just realize that. Take comfort in knowing that Jesus is with you. You see, God never promised to keep you from trouble. But he did promise to go with you through trouble. Let me say that again. God never promised to keep you from trouble. But he did promise to go with you through trouble. Isn't that awesome? I mean, he never said, hey, you know, in fact, he said just the opposite. He said, in this world, you're going to have lots of tribulation. You have lots of trouble, lots of problems, okay? But here's what he promised. You wouldn't be alone. You would not be alone. In fact, I love Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God is with you. And listen, when he calls you to those seasons of obedience that are like extra hard, if you will, okay? You know, just know you're not alone. Don't let fear control you, okay? He is with you. And then thirdly, obedience receives God's word. I mean, obedience and the word of God are one, basically, okay? They're inseparable. In Matthew 14:28-29a, the Bible says, Peter answered and said, and if you know anything about the disciples and their personalities, Peter was pretty much always that outspoken one, okay? He was that brash, bold one, okay? And it's not surprising he would be the one to speak up, all right? And so Peter speaks up and answers and says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, wow. I mean, here is Peter. Peter says, Lord, if that's really you, speak to me, command me, tell me to get out of this boat and come out on the water, all right? Because Peter knew, he had seen the miracles of Jesus. He knew what Jesus could do, all right? And Jesus said, come. And so the bottom line is, this would have been totally foolish for Peter to do. In the middle of a storm, or, you know, to get out of the boat and go, and the waves, it says, are crashing and things. It had been so dumb for him to do that, except for one thing. God told him to do it, okay? God told him to do it. He moved at the word of God. In fact, obedience is not taking a blind step into the darkness of this world, but making a bold step into the light of his word. Let me read that again. Obedience is not taking a blind step into the darkness of this world, but making a bold step into the light of his word. When you obey God, okay, you're not taking a blind step into darkness. You're taking a bold step into the light of his word. In fact, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Almighty God. And listen, we need to be available, all right? Are you available for God to do that in your life? You know, I really believe, and I believe this with all my heart, the greatest ability is availability. I believe that with all my heart. And I've seen this over and over again in my life. I mean, there's a lot of people that have lots of talent, lots of skill, lots of stuff. But you know what? They're not available. Okay, they are not available. I mean, you know, I might not be the greatest preacher in the world. I'm sure I'm not. Okay, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm available. Okay, I'm available. I'm available for God to use me as he so chooses. And if God is going to use you to do these things, you got to listen to his word and be available to whatever he says. It's like Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And listen to what Isaiah said. Then I said, here am I, send me. Hear my Lord, send me. And that's what Peter is doing here. He's saying, Lord, I'm available. Use me. Send me. Amen. Amen. So obedience rests in God's will. Obedience realizes God's presence. Obedience receives God's word. And then listen to this. Obedience releases God's power. Obedience releases God's power. You see, a miracle takes place here. Matthew 14:29b says, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. You say, Steve Reynolds, hey, do you really believe he walked on the water? I sure do, okay? I sure do. I believe it with all my heart. And I don't understand it, but I understand God. And I know God, listen, he's a miracle-working God. And listen, I don't understand how a black cow eats green grass and puts out white milk. Do you understand that? Do you understand how a black cow eats green grass and has white milk? I don't understand that, okay? And there are things in life we're not going to understand. But let me tell you something. We do not and should not doubt the word of Almighty God. He can do miracles, okay? He can do miracles. But the problem was Peter started getting his eyes off the Lord. And so if you want to have God's power in your life, you have to keep your eyes on the Lord, because you sink in life when you take your eyes off of God and put them on your circumstances. And this is what Peter's going to do. He gets out there and says, "Woo!" This is, he's all excited. He's walking on the water. All right. Then he notices those waves splashing up against him. And he became scared. And rather than keeping his eye on Jesus, and boy, aren't we prone to do this? I am. You know, he's out there. "Woo! This is great. I'm on the water." You know. But all of a sudden we say, "Hey, I'm on the water. You know, there's a storm going on here," you know, and he began to sink. You see, the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory, ladies and gentlemen. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith. So keep your eyes on the Lord. And then obedience relies on God's help. It relies on God's help. So in times of obedience, we have to rely on God to help us, because Matthew 14:30-31 says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" There's his prayer. "Lord, save me." "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt?'" Listen, obedience relies on God's help. I mean, there are times where you're going to step out there out of the boat, okay? And you get out there and you're going to be afraid, and you're going to see all the storm around you. You're going to see everything that's happening around you. And it's going to be easy at those times to get your eyes off of Jesus and to get your eyes on the storm. And when you begin to sink, because you're going to sink if you do that, right? But listen, he can lift you back up. So pray and say, "Lord, help me. Help me." One of my favorite prayer verses is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God says, "Call out to me. Call out to me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know." So listen, before we leave this point, let's look at this prayer. I want you to notice three things about Peter's prayer. This verse teaches us a lot about prayer. Number one, notice its shortness. Is this a long prayer? Nope. It's three words. That's right. "Lord, save me." Okay? You know, hey, long prayers are great. Nothing wrong with long prayers, all right, with the right motivation. But just know this. Sometimes you can't pray a long prayer. He was going down in the water, okay? He didn't have time to even pray the model prayer. You know, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I mean, he'd start, sucking in water if that happened, right? He didn't have time, all right? But it didn't keep him from praying, right? And sometimes, you know, you're going to be in a situation where you can't pray a long prayer. And don't think God can't answer that. In fact, Matthew 6:7 warns us about, you know, sometimes people pray these long, eloquent prayers, and Jesus just called them empty repetitions. Matthew 6:7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, For they think they shall be heard for their many words. Don't think God's going to hear you because of your many words, okay? He can hear you, don't get me wrong, okay? But he can hear you for your few words as well. And then notice its source. Its source. Lord. Lord. That's the source. Who's he praying to? He's praying to God. He's praying to God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, listen, call out to the Lord. Come boldly before his throne, the throne of grace in your time of need. And then also notice its sincerity. The thing that's easy to miss there is the exclamation mark. Lord, listen, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to save me. You know, he prayed it with great sincerity. I mean, it wasn't just some little dead prayer, you know, some words coming out of his mouth. It came from the heart. And the Bible says in James 5:16b, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. Well, let's look at the last part here. Oh, we're learning a lot about obedience today, aren't we? We're learning that obedience rests in God's will. We're learning that obedience realizes God's presence. We're learning that obedience receives God's word. We're learning that obedience releases God's power. We're learning that obedience relies on God's help. And listen to the last thing we learn here. Obedience rejoices in God's protection. You see, God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. And really what happened is, the Bible says in Matthew 14:32-33, and this is where we really see in a big way that this was a storm of growth. The purpose of this storm was to grow them, to develop them, to mature them. Because it says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. You see, obedience, you rest in God's protection. You see what God has done. You know, you see how God has helped you, you know. As we're thinking about, you know, our church and, you know, planting the church and developing the church and multiplying the church over these many years. I mean, I there's been so many times where God has called us to a major season of obedience. And listen, I've gone through everything Peter went through, okay? And our church has gone through everything Peter went through. But when it's all over, listen, it's a time where we see, hey, God, you have done it, okay? You did it. You protected us. And listen, the bottom line is this. God is the only true source of protection. He is. And once you've come out and you're on victory territory, okay, you've obeyed God and you did it with God, okay? God really is the one that did it. You know what? You need to take time to rejoice. And I want to close with Psalm 4:8. And you know, we hear people say, you know, when you can't sleep, count sheep. Count sheep. I got something better. Quote scripture, okay? Quote scripture. And I'm like a lot of us, you know, there are times when I have some difficulty sleeping because of things going on in my life or situations or whatever. And one of my go-to verses is Psalm 4:8. Here the Bible says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And praise God, when this whole storm was over and they were safely back on that boat and the wind had ceased, they began to worship God and praise him. And listen, the bottom line was they knew they were dwelling in safety and only through God they could dwell in safety. And so listen, remember this verse, Psalm 4:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I don't know what you're going through, okay? But listen, he alone can keep you safe, all right? So get some sleep, get some rest, all right? That's the bottom line. Hey, what a challenging season. Maybe you're in this season right now, you know? Again, the Christian life is obedience. So there's no breaks from obedience. We have to obey every moment of every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade. But there are times, I'm telling you, God's going to call you to do some hard stuff, all right? And listen, you need to be like Peter. Peter was called to do something hard, but he obeyed, okay? So be faithful in obedience.